Well, just as the country was breathing a sigh of relief, and many of us were rediscovering the pleasures of the staycation, COVID-19 has stormed back into the headlines. Hundreds of thousands of people back in lockdown, a 14-day infection rate here that exceeds that of the UK, health authorities scrambling to bring clusters in meat plants under control. There were 59 new cases of coronavirus notified to health authorities yesterday, although no additional deaths were reported. The head of the World Health Organization's emergency programme, Dr. Mike Ryan, is warning that COVID-19 has shown no seasonal pattern, and if health authorities take the pressure off fighting it, it will bounce back.
This virus has demonstrated no seasonal pattern as such so far. What it has clearly demonstrated is you take the pressure off the virus bounces back. That's the reality, that's the fact. You can call that a second wave, you can call that a second spike, you can call that a flare-up, you can call it anything you like. Take the pressure off this virus will bounce back. And that's what we will say to countries in Europe. Keep the pressure on the virus. The DG said it. Suppress, suppress, suppress.
Dr. Mike Ryan of the World Health Organization. We can talk now to Professor James McInerney, who's head of the School of Life Sciences at the University of Nottingham. A very good morning once again to you, James, and thanks for taking the time
good morning,
to talk
Brian.
To us. Can I ask you first of all on this question of the incidence of the disease as measured by the number of cases per 100,000 people over a 14-day period? Now, the latest figure for Ireland is 18.5. That's a big increase in what we saw at a earlier period in the summer. How does that compare, what's happening here, with other European countries? Not because we're in a competition, but because benchmarking ourselves is presumably a valid measure of how effective the measures being taken here are.
Well, so there's two things to say about it. First of all, in terms of the rest of Europe, Europe is very spotty and very patchy. So there's some places that are very, very high. So places like Luxembourg is about 8 times higher right now. And there are lots and lots of parts of Eastern Europe where it's really quite high as well. So the fact that the Irish number is above the UK number, I suspect that they'll swap places up and down. You've got similar sort of measures in the two countries in terms of trying to suppress the virus. Overall, these are in terms of, you know, Europe, fairly low. Though of course zero would be ideal. But it is worrying that the trajectory is up and not down, for sure. But right now, Ireland is still doing a decent job on that sort of front.
You also make the point that this particular measure maybe isn't the most appropriate when trying to assess the prevalence of the disease in a small country like Ireland.
Yeah, so it's a bit of a sledgehammer measure, you know, the number of cases per 100,000 or per million. Early on in you know, March, April, you know, large countries like the US, you know, the politicians would try to report number of cases per million, because in a small country, you know, a handful of cases, some dozens of cases, can really, really change that number and make it look very, very high. Whereas in a large country, you know, you need large changes in order to make it look very different. So in terms of epidemiology, really, you know, it is a figure that's out there, but the more important thing is to look at trajectories and look at them in sort of local areas, to look at things like testing frequency and intensity of testing and so on. So this, while it's a good headline number and it gets reported, for most epidemiologists, infectious disease epidemiologists, there are other measures that they would prefer to look at.
And we heard Mike Ryan there dismissing the language around this. He's not bothered whether you call it a second wave or a spike or a resurgence. But I suppose people are concerned about the prospect of facing again what we faced back in March and April of this year. A key thing there is presumably whether these outbreaks are contained or whether their community spread gets underway again, that sort of uncontrolled distribution of the virus throughout the community.
Yeah. So as a biologist, I can talk about the virus. The virus is incredibly consistent. It is just absolutely consistent. It has never varied. You give it a chance, and it'll be back. Okay. So what Mike Ryan is actually talking about there is actually politics and society, because it's up to society how that virus gets, whether that virus gets a hold or not, and it's up to politics and technology as to whether we can have rapid enough testing to identify quickly and to stamp things out. So that's really what he's talking about. talking about. In terms of the naming of it, it's unlikely that we're going to see a second wave that's a really, really giant second wave unless we completely take our eye off the ball. But it's going to be this sort of up and down wave and up and down wave. And I think that's actually really devastating. I think the far better thing is to suppress it, you know, as Mike Ryan was saying, to suppress it so that you don't get any waves, even small ones. Because local lockdowns, and I'm here in the UK, and we've just had one in Preston announced recently. The city of Preston is now in lockdown, and it's really devastating to see that. So what Mike Ryan is saying is the suppression thing is both from a health perspective, but also from an economic perspective, it is the best thing to do.
We've, of course, had in just the last number of days, our first regional lockdowns or partial lockdowns that might be described in counties Kildare, Laois and Offaly. When clusters occur in those sort of circumstances, how effective is that kind of a response, focusing the restrictions on a particular area?
Well, the lockdown is your last resort, and it is effective. It's very effective. I mean, if you look at this R number that gets quoted a lot, if you look at this, I mean, the day after a lockdown, I mean, it drops like a stone. It goes from this R number is about 2.4, the average number of people that get infected by somebody who has the virus. It goes from about 2.4 on average down to well below 0.5. You know, and that happens in the space of 2 days. So it's really effective, except that it's extreme and it's very, very damaging in other ways.
And presumably, much more preferable are preventative measures. You've talked about some of them. Testing is a key element there, and I suppose for people to continue taking personal responsibility.
Personal responsibility is a huge issue in this. I mean, as a scientist, the questions that when I see the questions come to me about this, I see them as political questions. And to try to predict the future is to predict people and to predict all of those things. So it really is up to individuals and society in how they deal with this, because the virus, as I say, is completely consistent.
And in terms of taking advice from the European Centre for Disease Control, the World Health Organization, and you know you're in touch, I know, with colleagues around the world, is the response sufficiently coordinated at a global level, would you say?
Oh, I don't think so at a global level. I think different countries are ignoring the WHO or they're complying with it. So it's very, very variable at a global level. And of course, the thing that we now know, of course, is that somebody can become ill in the far reaches of the world and it can be within 24 hours in any other country in the world. So it is disappointing that lots of countries big countries have opted out of best practice in this, and what they're actually doing is endangering other countries that are behaving very well.
And just a final word, James, on the search for a vaccine. I know, again, that's something you keep a close eye on. We're still some way away from that, presumably.
Well, we are. I mean, so the statistics are north of 160 vaccine candidates have been identified. More than a half dozen are in a fairly significant trial right now. There is one vaccine that has been widely distributed through the Chinese army. And so there's certainly more than a million vaccine shots have been delivered there. So it's still a journey, and the trials that are going on now are both efficacy, that is to say how good any given vaccine is, and also safety. And they just take a while to work their way through. But we still remain hopeful, and there's been no major setback on vaccines. Most of the ones where we have preliminary studies have been positive. You know, the immune systems are responding to these vaccines, and they look like they have some protection.
All right, well, that's encouraging news to hear this morning. Thank you once again for talking to us. That was Professor James McInerney from the University of Nottingham.